we bless you. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we speak your word, Father, in the name of Jesus, over this flock, Father, over this city. Holy Spirit, sir, Spirit of the living God, consume us. Consume us. May we reverence you, Holy Spirit. Reverence you, sir. May we remember in our hearts, Lord, that our lives are not our own, Jesus. You've called us to die daily, to take up our cross, to follow you. Daily, Lord. Not on occasion, not when we feel like it, but to die daily. Thank you, Father, for the relief. Thank you for the relief, Lord. Thank you for that relief, Father. Thank you, Lord, for that relief. Oh, Father, what a season. What a season. We thank you, Father. For you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all praise. In Jesus' name. You can be seated real quietly, please. Let it play. We're doing good. Jesus. 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 A lot of people out today. Some guys are out and about at a camp, football camp. But still, you're here. Hallelujah. Just let me testify to you a little bit. Some of you that know me close might know. Some of you might not even have guessed or even discerned. The last 2 or 3 months of my life have been the hardest of my Christian walk. The hardest by far. Oh, you just don't know. Reading the Bible was so hard. Worshiping was even harder. All I could do is pray in tongues and read on occasion. When I just said, thank you, God, for this relief, it's because I haven't felt what I feel right now in months. And then it was incredible in those 2 or 3 months that I felt so much resistance from the devil. Not one time did I ever stop and ask God for his wisdom. Because I thought I could just fight through it. And this morning I had enough. I said, Lord, what scripture do I turn to help me overcome this darkness that I'm feeling? And I would think I'd hear the voice of the Lord and I'd go to a certain portion of scripture and I couldn't even read it. What psalm do I go to, Lord, to help me worship you today? And I couldn't put my finger on it. And then today I said, Lord, I feel so distant from you. I've never felt this resistance in my life. Now just for clarification, I haven't been drinking or doing this or that or running around on my wife. Nothing like that. But now you know why preachers fail in their walk with God. Because they meet this level of resistance and they quit. But I said today, as I parked there 30 minutes before church this morning, I said, Lord, I need your wisdom. And I just felt something in my spirit just tell me just to say the name of Jesus over and over again. And I began to say the name of Jesus. I just closed my eyes. I would begin to say, Jesus. Jesus. I would say it over and over again. I would say, Jesus, my Lord. And lo and behold, guess what? I felt this resistance just leaving me. I felt this resistance, this force of darkness. I just felt it lift off of me. And it feels so good. I just said the name of Jesus maybe hundreds of times. I just said, Jesus. Some of you are going through hard times right now. The instruction I have for you right now, in your misery, in your darkness, or whatever it may be, that's your business. If something in you is crying out, God, this is not the path that I want. I'm struggling, Lord. I want out of this mess, Lord. Which way do I turn? My advice to you would be, get by yourself. Just don't worry about the Bible right now. Just say the name of Jesus. I said it, Jesus. Said it 40, 50 times and I felt nothing. Then I said it again, Jesus. I tried to put my thought with his face, Jesus. Jesus. He even sat with Pastor. He said, keep going, Homer. Keep pushing. And lo and behold, I began to feel his presence consume me. I read something the other day. It doesn't even seem significant. Now, when I say, just for clarification, that I couldn't read or pray, I'm going to say this. What I mean to say is I couldn't do it the way that I usually do. I would read the Bible. To do the extended times that I was doing with God, I wasn't doing it, but I would still. Yesterday I read it for maybe 45 minutes, which is God is still awesome that you know we would partake of his bread for 45 minutes. But I just couldn't get into that routine that I've had my whole life. And I would tell my wife, baby, I got to get into it. I got to get into it. But as I was reading through John, this seemed so insignificant. So insignificant. And I read this particular verse yesterday and I began to weep. It's so insignificant. So I thought. But there's nothing in this word really that's insignificant. It seemed insignificant. I read the New Testament, I don't know, 40 or 50 times, whatever. Gone over it and over it as we know how to do through the Holy Spirit, through meditation, through the instruction of a great man named Pastor Dave Roberson. And I read this, and I read it a million times maybe. Well, not a million times, but you know what I mean. In John 1 and 40. He said, one of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found the Messiah. Andrew said, he went to his brother, hey brother, I found the Messiah. I have found this man named Jesus Christ. And if he said he found him, that means he was what? Looking for him. He said, Simon Peter, bro, I found him. Who'd you find? I found Jesus. I found him, bro. Come. Come with me. See this Jesus. And I read it. And I began to weep. He said, I have found Jesus. So if he found Jesus, that means he was looking for him. And lo and behold, he found him. And I stopped there. There's a place of compassion and resolve that I know nothing about yet in God. Listen to me, I'm here to help you today. If you're struggling today, this sermon is for you. If you can't seem to lift up your hands, if you don't even feel like you're saved today, that's okay, because being saved isn't a feeling, man. Being saved is knowing Jesus Christ as Redeemer. You don't always feel saved. And if you feel so distant from God, you feel dirty, you feel polluted, you feel like you can't go on any further, this sermon's for you. In love. Andrew told his brother, I found Jesus. I found him. So if we found him, that means he was looking for him. I know there's a place of compassion and a place of resolve. A place of loving him that I have not yet found. Well, Pastor Holm, I thought you, yeah, well. He said, I found him. See, Jesus Christ is far more than a work. He's far more than a work. See, Jesus Christ is a lifestyle. This same Andrew that found Jesus as a fisherman, he said, I found him. I found him, Simon Peter. Brother, we have found the salvation of Israel. I found him. Come, let me introduce you to him. So if he found him, he must have been looking for him. And then I went back to the book of the martyrs. Almost immediately, the Holy Spirit took me back to the book of the martyrs. See, it's not how you start, my friends. It's not how you start. Everybody starts out with a bang. People get saved. They want to preach. They want to teach. They want notoriety. But it ain't how you start, my brother. Everybody wants to teach. Oh, but be careful, because James says, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. You better be doing what you're teaching, or you will receive the greater condemnation. So be careful if you really want to teach. Be real careful. But it ain't how you start. It's how you finish. Andrew told Simon Peter, I found him. Like Julio's my boy. Julio, I found him. Who'd you find, Homer? I found Jesus, my Redeemer. And I said, Lord, well, if he found you, Lord, then he must have been looking for you. That was the beginning of Andrew's ministry. The beginning of his personal relationship with this man named Jesus Christ. So then the Holy Spirit just turned the pages in my heart and took me to the end of Andrew's life. He said, I found him, Alex. I found him, Harry. Who'd you find, Pastor Hope? I found Jesus. Come on, Harry. Come on. The Lamb of God, Harry, which takes away the sin of the world. That man there, Harry, can save you, can heal you and comfort you. That was the beginning of his life with Christ. But it ain't how you start. It's how you finish. Andrew will later be martyred in his life. Listen to how he finished. Listen to how Andrew finished. He started looking for Jesus. Bro, I can just picture him, Kathy. I found him. I have found him. Come. It's Jesus. Come on. That's him. We're standing before the Son of God. Then the Holy Spirit took me through what I knew already through the Book of the Martyrs. And he like whispered to me, it's not how you start, son. It's how you finish. And I'm going to read to you real quick how Andrew finished. Now Andrew led a high Roman official's wife to the Lord. And this is how he died. To this, Andrew replied, now remember, Andrew found Jesus. And if he found him, that means he was looking for him. Listen to this. But this is how that's how he started. This is how he finished. Andrew replied, as he was being tortured, the judge favored Andrew. And the judge knew what lied ahead for Andrew. And the judge really wanted Andrew to save himself because he liked him. But Andrew replies to the judge, had I feared the death of the cross, I should have never preached the majesty and gloriousness of Christ. Now this is, he's about to die now. Andrew was arrested and tried, threatened, scourged, and tortured. But he remained steadfast. It is said that the judge pleaded with Andrew not to cast aside his life. The judge said, Andrew, I like you, man. Don't let this Jesus go. Renounce him, Andrew, and you'll live. It is said that the judge pleaded with Andrew not to cast aside his life. And the old apostle responded with equal passion, urging the judge not to cast aside his soul. Unwilling to recant of his faith in Christ, Andrew was tried, was tied to an egg-shaped cross to die a slow and painful death. This particular cross is still called St. Andrew's Cross. One source says that when Andrew came near the cross, he said, O beloved cross, I have greatly longed for thee. I rejoice to see thee erected here. I come to thee with a peaceful conscience and with a cheerful and cheerfulness, desiring that I, who am a disciple of him who hung on the cross, may also be crucified. The nearer I come to the cross, the nearer I come to God. And the further I am from the cross, the further I remain from God. Andrew hung for 3 days on the cross. It's not how we start. It's how we finish. Close your eyes and picture this, man. And Andrew hung on the cross for 3 days. And during this time, listen to this. Close your eyes. I beg you to picture this. Listen to this. Listen to this. Andrew hung for 3 days on the cross. And during this time, Miss Kathy, he taught the people. He was teaching in agony, in pain, and suffering, being crucified, some say upside down, for 3 days in pain and agony. And he longed for the cross. He didn't want to run away from it. He wanted to run to it. He taught them. See, it's not how you start, man. It's how we finish. Andrew hung for 3 days on the cross. And during this time, he taught the people who stood near him, saying such things as, I thank my Lord, Jesus Christ, that he, having used me for a time as an ambassador, now permits me to have this body, that I, through a good confession, may obtain everlasting grace and mercy. He taught, remain steadfast in the word and teaching which you have received, instructing one another that you may dwell with God in eternity and receive the fruit of his promise. If that doesn't move you, nothing will. For 3 days, he hung in pain and agony. and he taught. Jesus said in Matthew, Harry, I could hear you play forever. I'll let you rest in a little bit. When your fingers get numb, just let me know. Jesus said, I think we need to remember this here. He said, let your light, listen to this. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. See, the modern day church, I love what Pastor Bronx said this morning. He had an awesome sermon this morning. One of the reasons I stopped blogging, and I keep trying to convince myself to start blogging again. You know, 99.9% of all the blogs that we read are powerless with no anointing. Powerless. No substance. Written from intellect. Listen to what Jesus said here. Let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. What does a light do? It what? He just said right there, let your light so shine. What does a light do? It what? It shines. He said, Jesus said to me, you let your light so shine before men. Let your light so shine before men. What does a light do? It what? It shines. Does a light talk? Does the church talk? Yes. He said, let your light so shine. Lights don't talk. They shine. Light penetrates darkness. He said, you are the salt of the earth. Salt preserves. He said, I'm the salt in the earth, in this world, in society. You are my ambassadors. He said, no one lights a candle and puts it under a basket, but on a lamp that it may give light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, we want to talk about works. We want to advertise works. We want every... Now, if 99.9% of all blogs have no substance, have no anointing, why would a person blog then? Think about it. If 99.9, it's probably 99.99999% of all blogs have no, and you know, the most anointed men that I know, one there, Pastor Bronk, Pastor Dave, they don't blog. But why would somebody that has no substance and has no anointing in their life, why would they blog? I saw a lady last week on Facebook rejoicing. She said, I got 46,000 followers. On my Facebook, 46,000. Why would a person blog with no substance, with no anointing? Why would they blog? Why? Because they want everybody to know. They want everybody to know what they think they know about God. If a person truly knows God and rubs shoulders with Him, he'll walk in a yoke-breaking anointing. Stuff will happen. When people read his blogs, a convicting power of God will consume them. He said, let your light so shine. Lights don't talk, they shine. He said, you are the salt of this earth. What does salt do? It preserves. Let your light so shine before men. And you knew what it was to glorify God. See, it's not how you start. It's how you finish. Some of you might have lost your fire for God. You might have lost that hunger. You were on fire at once in your life. The problem is you experimented with Jesus. Jesus is not an experiment. He's a lifestyle. He said, you are the salt of this earth. You are that city that is set on a hill. You are. you are, he said. He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. He didn't say it's what I blogged. He didn't say it's what I preached. He didn't say what I taught would bring him glory in the sight of a dark, perverted society. He said the works that you do in the midst of a dark, perverted society will have society glorify the God that you say you serve. Not by what you say, but how you live. How many thousands and thousands do you think Andrew brought to the cross as he stood there in love, never complaining, in 3 days of absolute agony, preaching to them the love and the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If I ever try to blog again, Alex slapped me in the face hard. No, gay, don't amen that gay. I try to talk myself into him as gay. And then I see myself. And I don't do it. The best message that I could ever preach to you, the best message I could ever preach to you, Courtney, the best message that I could ever present to anyone in here is me obeying what I read. See, I'm not to read it, to preach it. I'm to read it, to live it. He said, Homer, let your light so shine before men. Why, Jesus? Why? So they may see your good work, Homer, and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. He didn't say society would glorify him by my preaching or by my teaching. He said it's how you conduct yourself in the midst of a dark, perverted society that people will give glory to the God that you claim that you serve. What work am I to live out so that society will bring God glory? Well, I'm glad you asked me that question. When I'm merciful, when I'm pure in heart, when I'm a peacemaker, when I'm forgiving, I bring my God glory. When I'm unforgiving, I bring Him shame. When I'm unmerciful, I tarnish His name. He said, Homer, son, a city set on a hill, he said, it cannot be hid. A city set on a hill, it cannot be hid. Me and you together corporately are to bring God everlasting glory by how we live. The devil played mind games with me for 2 or 3 months. It was hell, man. It was hell, but I knew enough not to give up. I would cry and I'd want my wife to hold me, baby. God, it's gotten so hard. She would just hug me and say nothing. There's a place that I don't know of yet. A place where it would be a joy to me to hang on a cross for 3 days and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that place exists, that type of compassion, it exists. Or that type of passion exists. We just got to find it. You got to want it. Let the days of talking cease. Let them cease. Let us bring our God glory by our works. In closing, first closing, which means what? Nothing. Listen to this, and I'm going to close with this. Same subject, same sermon. Jesus says in 12 of chapter 5, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Why would he say that my reward would be great in heaven? Why would he make such a statement? He said, rejoice, Alex, rejoice, Julio, rejoice, Miss Kathy, rejoice, Miss Gay, and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know why our reward is great in heaven? Because when I'm merciful, when I'm a peacemaker, when I'm pure in heart, I demonstrated a lifestyle that exists in the realm of my Father. I didn't tell you about mercy. I didn't tell you about being pure in heart. I didn't tell you about being a forgiving Christian. I demonstrated it here on earth, and I conducted how he told me to conduct myself from heaven, his ways in heaven. I conducted myself according to God's world here, and I brought him everlasting glory by my conduct here on earth in the midst of sinners, in the midst of darkness. I conducted myself according to the way my Father would have me conduct myself. I was not moved by obstacles. See, once you're born again, you really are an alien. Because your DNA is not earthly. It's heavenly. The greatest message we could ever teach, the greatest message I could ever teach, is to live out what I read. My opinion in life means nothing. But one thing stands sure, one thing is set concrete, and it's not moved. It's holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold, and that's the word of the Almighty God. Holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold. See, we could disagree on a lot of things. We could disagree on politics. We could disagree on culture. See, I don't live by Hispanic culture. Hispanic culture is not very good. And the Hispanic culture, you're cool if you got a wife at home. You run around with 20 different women. The Hispanic culture, and I was very ignorant before I got saved. This is not a racist statement. This is how my culture taught me growing up. Every white person is evil. That's what my uncles taught me. That every white person hated Mexicans. What was I stupid? Now my pastor's a redneck. Ain't that something? Is that iron? Is that ironic or what? I thought every white person was racist. Every one of them, except for Kathy, because I grew up with her. I thought every white person was racist. You don't want to know what I said. And then I got mad at white people being racist towards me. But in return, I couldn't even see that I was racist towards them. Boy, was I stupid. See, in Christ Jesus, there is no color. There is no color in Christ. But Hispanic culture taught me that. Ignorant and hate taught me that. I'm not going to talk about any other race because nobody will accuse me of being racist. Hispanic culture can do nothing for you. But the culture and inheritance of this one man named Jesus Christ, it supersedes any type of culture. We'll disagree on things. But one thing that I won't give way to is that my Lord Jesus Christ is the final say-so in every single matter. And I could say today before God, there ain't one racist bone in my body. None at all. I was so ignorant. I was so stupid. It's not how you start, man. It's how we finish. Jesus gave me a divine instruction. Let your light shine, Homer. Glorify me, Homer. How, Jesus, can I bring you glory in the eyes of a dark, perverted society? How can I bring you glory, Father? How can I want to? How can I show society that you're real? He said, by living like I live, son. At all times. That's how we let our light shine, like a city that's set on a hill. Imagine a city 10,000 feet elevated up. It's pitch dark outside. All of a sudden, the lights turn on a city 10,000 feet elevated up. And guess what you're going to see in the midst of darkness? Light. Jesus said to me and you, in the midst of a dark society, let your light shine. How can I let my light shine, Jesus? By walking according to these 66 books that are holy and undefiled. This is the final say-so in every single matter. There will be trials in this walk. There will be hard times where Satan comes and attacks your emotion. But we are promised a way out every single time. See, this pressure lasted for 3 months. I could have stopped it the first day that it came. I said, Lord, what do I do? Where do I walk? What do I say? What book do I read, Jesus, to get this pressure off of me? I felt it so clear today as he said, just say the name of Jesus. And I said it. At first I just said it. And then I started saying it with some passion, Jesus. Jesus, my Lord. About the 40 or 50 time through real slow. Felt a little drop come down. I said it again. I said, Jesus. So if you're out there struggling right now, you feel so far from God. Let me prophesy to you. Go home tonight. By yourself, cry if you want. Kneel down on your bed. Sit down. You don't want an explanation, man. He don't care about what you did yesterday. He doesn't have a legal pad and a cross pin writing down every bad thing that you did. But if you'll go tonight in your misery and say, Lord, I'm going to listen to the words of Pastor Homer tonight. Just close your eyes. You can lift up your hands if you want. And just say the name of Jesus. About 45, 50 times through, a little tear came down. I said, yes, it's raining. I said it again, Miss Sandy. Jesus. 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 And the other side started dripping. So I'm going to keep saying that. I'm not going to stop. I said, Jesus, my Lord. Jesus. I didn't ask him for nothing. I just said, Jesus, my Lord. Before you know it, that darkness left me. Immediately. I'm going to finish this thing, man. The greatest message we could ever preach to each other, Courtney. The greatest message we could ever preach to each other, Miss Kathy. They're not words. It's not a blog. It's not opinion. The greatest thing that we could teach society. is to live out the instruction, the commandment, or the love of God every day in our life. I felt relief today, a release. I haven't felt like this in a long time. Now you know why preachers quit. If you're struggling today, man, if you're struggling today, if you're mad at God, if you're mad at circumstances, if you're mad at yourself, if you think you're a failure, I'm here to serve you notice that you are not a failure. You just need a little bit of grace delivered over to you. He loves you so much. Some of you are being ministered to right now. You just want to go home and you can't wait to say the name of Jesus. You just can't wait to say it. My friends, I promise you, you will feel a release and a relief at the same time. Why? What's so magical about it? Nothing. But I know I said it several hundred times, Mr. Jimmy. And I went from feeling angry to feeling His love and compassion. I'm done in 2 minutes for real, Courtney. I'm not playing. One day, 2, 3, 4, 5,000 disciples left Jesus. Jesus asked Simon Peter, Andrew's brother, Simon Peter, will you also leave me? Listen to this now. And I'm done for real. I want to pray for some of you. 2, 3, 4,000 disciples left Jesus one day. They couldn't handle His sayings, Courtney. They said, your sayings, they're not for me, Jesus. I'm not going to go into detail. 2, 3, or 4,000 left Him. And He knew all man's heart. Come here, Renee. Come here. Renee, Simon Peter. Stand right there. Said Simon Peter wasn't black. Anyway, he is. 2 or 3 walked away from Him because they couldn't handle His sayings. And He looked at Simon Peter. He said, Simon Peter, will you also leave me? Simon Peter looks back at Jesus. Listen to this now, please. I beg you, listen to this. I beg you. 2 or 3,000 disciples left Jesus because they couldn't handle His sayings. I'm sure Jesus' heart wept inside. And He looks at Simon Peter, one of His right-hand men, Alex. Maybe Jesus had a tear in His eye. He wept. The Bible says the shortest verse in the Bible is Jesus wept. Simon Peter, Jesus was all God and He was all man. Probably said, my God, Kathy, if they only knew what they left. If you only knew what you left. And He looks at Simon Peter. Simon Peter, will you also leave me? Simon Peter answers Jesus and he says, where to, Lord? Where can I go? You have the words to everlasting life. What can society give me, Lord, that's found in you? Where can I go, Jesus? Where can I go? I've looked for you my whole life and I found you. Where can I go, Jesus? Simon Peter would later go on and be martyred also. I ask you today in these closing words, some of you that are miserable, where will you go, man? Where can you go? Pastor Homer, I've had a hard time. I know. Just say the name of Jesus. If you're here tonight, my friends, you felt a struggle, you felt this pressure, you felt so distant from Jesus Christ, well, tonight is your night, friend. You already know what to do. Go home and just say the name of Jesus. No music, no nothing. Say it over and over again to that anxiety, to that pressure, or to that darkness lifts. Just say it with a passion. Just say, Jesus. Jesus.